Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome into Attacking Third, brought to you by CarMax, the way car buying should be. Darian Jenkins, Lisa Carlin, and I'm Jenny Chu here for you guys on this beautiful Monday morning after a big weekend of women's football. So much to talk about in today's show. Darian, you had an amazing fit this past weekend covering NWSL. Actually, like, stood out to me, and the fro was looking amazing. How'd you feel?
Thank you. Yeah, she's voluminous today. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
I love when you personify the fro. It's so
she
good.
She has a mind of her own. I never know what it's going to look like when I wake up, and I just rolled with the punches. So
she looks good today.
Thank you.
Lisa, we had some big games on Sunday because you mentioned Friday, Saturday. Not as exciting as you had hoped for.
Yeah, I think in the NWSL, we're seeing the effects of an international break and these teams coming back, not having a lot of time together, players dealing with travel and restricted minutes. But Sunday's late night action between Bay FC and Seattle Reign, holy cow, that was keeping me awake.
It was worth the wait.
It was impressive.
All right, before we get into that NWSL action and all of those matches, we had some breaking news late last night during that Bay FC game, and it was that Maria Sanchez has asked for a trade. So let's talk about Maria Sanchez's deal with the Houston Dash right now. So she is signed a 3-year deal with an option for a 4th year worth $1.5 million, including the option year and bonuses. So a lot of questions come into play here. Why she wants to leave Houston, right? Come December, there was a big conversation about how excited she was to stay, this record-setting deal at the time. The fact that the deadline to make these trades is on Friday is a big point as well. What is your take on this so far?
You're mentioning the contract that she did sign just 4 months ago, one of the highest deals in the NWSL. There is a little asterisk with that because she was a restricted free agent. So meaning any club that gave her a deal or a contract, Houston could match that and she had to stay. Mm. I think that's just an interesting wrinkle that we do have to talk about because now she is requesting a trade and it's evident that she doesn't want to stay with Houston at this point.
I mean, I wouldn't either if I were her. I won't lie.
Well,
it's been a cursed team year after year. Coaches coming in and out. Not a great support system for these players. They've played the same sort of bang around style year after year. And she's a technical player. She's very savvy. She wants to combine. She wants to have the ball a lot. We're seeing her be basically a defender for Houston.
It's tough.
It's not a fun team
to watch play, let alone I can't imagine playing with Houston. And it's frustrating because we haven't seen them progress in ways that shows that, oh, this team is actually turning things around. Maybe they're tying some games. Oh, it's a loss, but they fought hard and showed us some new things.
And when you have five different coaches since 2022, there's a lack of stability at this club and they're not producing results. It's not fun. You don't want to be there as a player.
Yeah. And I think one of the bigger things about Maria Sanchez is that she likes to win. She likes to compete. That is the person that she is, and this is not the situation that they have kind of allowed her to be in now. So for this, we bring in our CBS reporter, Sandra Herrera. Thank you so much for joining us with more on this. What did you think about these details to begin with, the fact that she is asking for a trade and wants a trade, and how you're taking all of the news after that?
I think it feels like a bombshell, right, because it dropped on a Sunday night, but additional reporting locally within Houston saying that this is a play game already a few weeks in the making. So this isn't something that just occurred because they dropped another game against Washington Spirit. So I think that's something important to know in terms of this is kind of player initiated here. And I think it's important to note the timing of it as well. I think this dropping on a Sunday night where there is a trade deadline that is coming up on Friday, perhaps maybe this puts a little pressure on the club now that it is out there that a player is unhappy with the franchise.
Yeah, it definitely puts pressure on Houston. But the way that this trade works and the way that Sanchez's contract works is it's with the NWSL. So she can go to a different club, but that other club will have to pick up her contract that she signed just a few months ago. When you look across the NWSL right now, Sandra, where would Sanchez be a good fit?
That's part of the burning question, right? Questions within that as well. I think this also highlights the fact that maybe we don't have a ton of that information in front of us in regard to what player cap looks like for each team. We know that that rose this year going into this season in terms of tying salaries to cap and how the spreadsheet looks. So I like that there's been a lot of fan engagement around this already. Everyone trying to throw their hat into the ring for Maria Sanchez. Could she go out west? We're seeing a lot of folks maybe try to connect those dots. Could it be something closer to home? Seattle, Angel City, Utah even. I think it's early in the season to where we're taking a look at teams and their current needs and what they want to look like moving ahead into this kind of second phase of a very, very long season. But how and who is going to take that kind of contract on remains to be seen. Is it going to be here within NWSL, or is this a player who is frustrated with her current circumstances enough to the point where maybe outside factors come into play where you're looking outside of NWSL?
Ooh. Sandra, I like seeing her go to Seattle. I actually think that would be a really, really good fit and great for Seattle Reign to have. Now, taking a look at the Houston side, she's one of the few players that we highlight every week to talk about for Houston. Our players to watch, one of the most effective. How she needs to be more effective on the pitch, but the team really doesn't allow her, or the playing style. What does this mean for Houston now? I mean, I can't imagine on the PR side, this looks terrible, but on the playing side, you're missing such a big player.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of curiosities around Houston right now. I think this is a franchise that is just celebrating their 10-year anniversary, and you have very invested season ticket holders, general fans kind of saying, hey, let's take a real look at this 10-year span of this franchise. It's been filled with a lot of turnover, whether that's been on the coaching side or the player side. There's never been a real shot to kind of build upon any type of success here. So I think it's bringing in maybe some PR crisis management where they're saying, okay, this doesn't really look very good for us when we have a player that we just gave a historic contract to, and now she's putting in a request that she'd like to be traded. It is not an ideal situation for Houston. I think the club statement that they gave to ESPN was very curt and short and to the point, kind of gave a bit of energy. Well, she signed the contract, she's under contract, and she's here. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but this is kind of the energy that it's giving a little bit. It's almost like, what do you want us to do, especially with a trade deadline on Friday? So I would imagine not the headlines that this club wants to have, alongside the fact that they have a new head coach, that they're trying to iron out tactics, that they're not getting results. This is all a little bit of a very multi-layered cake that they're not really enjoying the flavors of right now. So we'll see if now that this is kind of out in the public, that it's got a headline around it and a major outline, that this maybe tips the scales at all for player, and maybe this, you know, gets more teams on the line to see what it would take to move Maria Sanchez. So I think this is far from over.
Definitely far from over, Sandra. We're going to continue to tune in with you and ask you questions about this thing as it unfolds. I will say it's very difficult to be in Maria Sanchez's shoes and to, you know, be trying to set up a life, have a foundation, and then want to get out of this. It must be very severe for it to be that the case, right, for things to not be going her way. So when we learn more, I'm sure we'll talk to you then, Sandra. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
All right, we turn our attention to the FA Cup semifinals where Chelsea played against Manchester United. Let's go straight into those highlights so we can talk on the back end of all of this, Darian.
Wow, did it start early, just in the first minute. I love this. United came out to win this game. They were not here to play. Parise with a poor clearance on this ball over the top. Ball from Gelton is served in, and who else but Lucia, back from international break, scores such a great goal. This great transition from United set the tone really early. Just off the back post, pushes it past Hannah Hampton. And look at the scenes after she scores. I love this. You can feel the intensity. And then in the 23rd minute, another great ball whipped in by Ella Toon, and who else but Williams in between the center backs. Just watch her movement, how she peels away a little bit, gets on the back shoulder, and boom, pushes it past Hannah Hampton again. And then in extra time in the first half, this ball over here is pushed and a good cutback. Lauren James gets on the end of it, finishes it past Earps, and it got a little chippy at the end. You could see tempers were up. It was feeling intense. Chelsea really wanted to come back, but ultimately they didn't. Earps had a great standout game. She shut down so many shots. Mm. And look at how excited that is. Doesn't that make you miss playing? Like those
moments?
It
totally does. Yeah, when the final whistle blows and you're like, I did it. You can see how fired up Earps is as well.
100% deserves to be that fired up because she did save this game a couple of times. Yeah. She had these massive saves. I mean, basically palms it, curls it out of the goal.
She didn't come to
in
play.
A couple of
yeah.
them. And she deserves a lot of credit for this win. And this is the first ever win for Manchester United against Chelsea. This is wild for them.
I will say, maybe they listened to the podcast Thursday or watched the show and heard us just bagging on them saying Chelsea was going to get the sweep. But honestly, good on United. When you're Chelsea, though, you have such a target on your back in games like this where teams are pining to shut you down. And they did.
Two shots on target, two goals for Manchester United throughout this game. They had a very different game plan that mm-hmm. we've seen United play any point this season because Chelsea is so organized. They have a high press, and United usually likes to keep the ball, try to possess around. They sacrificed the ball throughout this yeah. match. They went long. They went direct. They used the space in the wide channels and their players that were out there. Rachel Williams, who's so good
She's
and technical
great.
On the ball. Those wide areas were wide open for United, and in those moments where they went direct, early crosses into the box, it worked for yeah. them. You only need two shots to get two goals, and that's they put it away.
Thing is with Chelsea, too, their back line is they send so many numbers forward that when there is those transitions, it is so hard to immediately mark coming back into the box. So they have yeah. huge gaps between the center backs and United. I'm pretty sure they scouted that, worked on it in training leading into this game because it worked
sure.
out incredibly well. But Chelsea has always looked really vulnerable in those positions. That's how they concede goals. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think on both of those goals, it was kind of the player finding in between the center back, like you mentioned yeah. there, to find that space to get the head on. So good looks for Manchester United for scouting that out and being aware to that. There were a couple of potentially missed calls by the referee that would have gone in Chelsea's favors. Let's go ahead and talk through these because that scoff says, Darian, that you kind of agree.
Yeah. Holy hell, the ref,
yeah,
obvious handballs. Myra Ramirez was getting rugby tackled during
yep.
the match. It was incredibly intense, and I don't know how they don't have VAR yet because it would have changed the momentum of the game. It definitely would have gone more in Chelsea's favor.
You can see the option here. The shot comes on this cut back. Great shot, and then in the way, it's Zellum in the box. Her hand is away from her body. It's raised out. That is a handball every single time.
Yep.
She is so lucky that United got away from it. Now on this cross into the box, I mean, or it's a missed cross, right? Because the ball just gets toe-poked there. Williams just takes out Charles completely.
She doesn't get the ball there at all.
Completely. She takes her out.
So another potential penalty call for Chelsea there. That's two back-to-back. And then we talk about the Mayra Ramirez, the foul from Letizia against Mayra Ramirez. That was what Darian said, a rugby tackle.
Full-on rugby, mm-hmm. American football, I don't know what else to compare to, WWE tackle. And she also had another one in the first half where she was two-hand shoved on a cross. Mm-hmm. And watching the game, you can see it. Go watch the highlights. You can fully see two-hand yeah. shove. It's very obvious to me, but the referee was
yeah, and the first one's off the ball,
watching.
Entirely off the ball,
yeah.
and it looks pretty deliberate. You can see Ramirez trying to make this through run, and the center back just goes and body checks.
But
body
this is something
you could
hockey.
Compare it
That's
to
another
hockey.
One. Yeah,
you know, this is something that we've been seeing though with specifically strong players that are up front. We see it with Bunny Shaw, we see it with Mayra Ramirez now that they're getting fouled quite a bit, and it's not getting called. And we're just kind of raising our eyebrows, saying, why are these plays not getting called? Yes, they are bigger bodies. Yes, they are strong players. Why is it not getting called, Darian?
I don't know why it's not getting called, but they should be. I think it's just that strategy, obviously, of team scouting them and looking to say, you know what, I'm just going to knock them off the ball. I'm going to hit them before they hit me because I know I'm not going to win. So let's do it when it's unsuspecting. But
and the players are smart.
VAR.
Yeah, they know there's no VAR, right?
Yeah.
So they also know that if it's off the ball, if the play is not developing right near them, if they can be sneaky about it, they're going to get away with it.
Yeah. There is plenty to talk about when we talk about Chelsea. Their treble hopes are now over, but they do have a couple of other competitions that they are in that they can still win. It was interesting, post-game, Emma Hayes, she looked pretty defeated, just like the voice coming out of her, and then she's going to make that move over to the United States. So hopefully we get a good version of her that's not kind of worn out with all that has happened throughout this Chelsea season. But we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be talking about the Corinthian players that are protesting the return of Santos manager Cleiton Lima in Brazil when we return.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
These scenes were in Brazil, where Corinthians players were protesting the return of Santos head coach Cleiton Lima. For this, we bring in Duda Pavao, our CBS Sports reporter and fellow Brazilian, and you follow the league as well. So can you talk us through what's happening in this video, right, and the background of what led to these actions where these players are protesting?
Of course. Thanks for having me, Jenny. I wish we're here to talk about better and greater things that were happening in Brazilian football. But just like we saw in the video, to talk about this, we're going to have to go back all the way to September of last year, of 2023, where 19 players from Santos, they wrote letters and they turned their letters in where they were sharing about their relationship with the head coach from Santos, Cleiton Lima. They were sharing how all the experiences that they had with him personally and how he was verbally and also sexual abuses in regards to Cleiton Lima. And then sadly, now we see that this just now in April, he was brought back to Santos and he's now the manager. So from the video that we saw players from Corinthians, and now we also have players from Santos, Botafogo, Palmeiras, all the athletes coming together and supporting what's happening for supporting the athletes from Santos there, which they're being silenced, right? They're not being listened to. This is so frustrating because you said it started in September. You have to think about how long this has probably built up for then these 19 players, and I'm sure there's more, that maybe fear of retribution for writing a letter and putting your name on something. How long this has really been going on and the effect it's had on them mentally, emotionally, affected their game, their careers. It's sickening. How do you feel about how the club Santos has handled this situation?
Just like you said, it's sickening. And it's, to be honest with you, to find a lack of a better word, it's kind of disgusting to me. You really have all your athletes, right? In my opinion, your employer, you're supposed to trust. They're supposed to be there to protect you. Mm-hmm. You have all your athletes there writing their letters and saying, hey, this is my experience that we had with the coach. We need help,
yeah,
right? And now also think about how much it takes for someone to actually voice about this situation. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just a slap to, like, it's just ridiculous what Santos has been doing, and especially talking about Santos, which is a pioneer club mm-hmm. in Brazil, and especially for women's football. Come on, like, Marta played there.
Yeah.
Every single Cristiane played there. Well, so it's just sad to see.
Due to one of the bigger things that Darian is pointing at here is the fact that when this happens, people speak up, and the slap in the face to not react.
Yeah.
What kind of signal does that send to other people that want to speak up about potential harassment that they have been dealing with or abuses?
It doesn't help, right? You're supposed to be there to set the standards as a club. And also, we're talking here about Santos again, which is a huge club in Brazil. So what message does ESO also send to just people?
Yeah.
Just to any of us, to human? Yeah. Because when that happens to you, you could voice it. You should voice it. Because you need help. Mm-hmm. You should get that help. And you should be respected, which I don't think the Santos players here are being respected at all.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. There's no respect at all mm-hmm. for these players. But they did protest at these games, which... we're talking about it here, right? It's gaining some traction and attention because so often when things like this happen, the people that get put in front of the microphone are the coach mm-hmm. or the media people or GMs of these clubs that can continue to silence things. And former goalkeeper and current Santos GM, Thaís Picarte, spoke to the media after Coach Lima was reinstated. And then the players came out and said, that's not really true.
Yes.
Break down what the GM said and then what the players
spoke
sure. about.
For sure. So like we're saying, right, the letters were sent in September of last year. And just in the beginning of April of this year now, April 2nd, Clayton was announced again as the head coach for Santos. And at the press conference, Thaís Picarte, like you mentioned, she said, hey, we reached out to the players, former and current players, and we asked about their experiences with the coach, because they were doing an internal investigation in Santos to see mm-hmm. what actually happened. And at the press conference, she said that. We reached out to current and former players at Santos. And right after the press conference ended, players went on social media saying, hey, hold up a second, Thaís. No one ever reached out to me. So what are you talking about here?
That's
who do we believe?
Yes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
This, I'm happy that it's out. I'm sad that these players had to go through that. Mm-hmm. We've seen it in numerous leagues and federations around the world in women's soccer. It's horrible, but we need to keep talking about it. We need to keep getting visibility to these situations, because imagine these other teams that are probably seeing this. Maybe this is going on elsewhere and thinking, oh my God, we need to do this. We need to voice this out. So I think it's important that we keep highlighting it, but my heart goes out for these players, and watching the protests and the solidarity between other teams mm-hmm. and the various ways in which they're protesting, I think is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and that shows a lot too. I was just gonna mention, because we have the support from the other clubs, right? Mm-hmm. We have Corinthians supporting, mm-hmm. we have Palmeiras, and Clayton has been around coaching for years. In Brazil football, we all know each other. It's like very similar. You know the coach, you played for him, you played with that player. So I also think, seeing from the outside, that support from the players, from the other teams also, so hey, been there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hear you. We're with you.
And the fact that he's been a coach for so long in this league, and ultimately 19 players wrote letters.
I think that's why.
Imagine how long this has potentially been happening, and how many players this has affected. It's terrible. It's heart-wrenching.
Yeah. I think what I just put together with what Duda said there, with the fact that all of these players are from other teams are protesting, right? Santos players were not the ones that were protesting. It was everyone else in the league that had a reaction, is that those players might have potentially been players of his previously. I hadn't put that together previously. But with that in mind, what has the fans' reaction been? Because that's something we haven't talked about. The fact that, how is the outcry? Because in NWSL, we saw an outcry. How has it been in Brazil?
Everyone is just talking about how Santos is mishandling the situation.
Yeah.
Everyone is just pissed about what they're doing and how they're voicing this, because instead of protecting their players, they're protecting their coach, really.
Just one guy.
Literally all the 19 players that came out with the letters, you're just going to pretend that nothing happened. It's like, hey, let's bring the coach back in. That's ridiculous to me.
It's so disrespectful.
Extremely.
Extremely. And they have to continue to play under this coach.
Sorry?
And they have to continue to play under
this coach. Yes, of course. Yeah. And not only that, I forgot to mention this, and I have to mention it. During the press conference, Thaís Picarte, she also said how the players who voiced about the experience with the head coach, with Clayton Lima, how they're, like, ruining the club's legacy. because this is sentence we should respect it. And after she said, I was like, are you kidding me? Coming from a former player who played for the Brazilian national team, and it's been there, and it's also supposed to be there to voice and protect the Santos players.
So the rock goes deeper than just the coach.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Well, beautifully said. Judah, thank you so much for joining us. That was very insightful, and I'm glad that we can get the inside look there. We're going to continue to follow this story and make sure we bring you guys the updates here on Attacking Third. But we have a quick break for you, and we'll be back with some more.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Welcome back in to Attacking Third, brought to you by CarMax, the way car buying should be. This is a look at match day four of the NWSL weekend. Houston Dash just embarrassed by Washington Spirit, to be honest. Their 3-1 loss. Racing Louisville and San Diego Wave split points. Chicago Red Stars lose to Angel City. And the big one, Sunday night late, Seattle Reign against Bay FC. Bay FC with an own goal at the very end against Seattle Reign to get the win. So much to talk about. Let's go straight into the insane game that I just talked about. Bay FC against Seattle Reign. Kayla Sharple scores on both ends here. Scores an own goal and then for her own team. Off of the set piece, there's an absolute banger. And then Alana Cook at the very end. Talk us through this game because that was an exciting one to stay up for.
Oh, this was incredibly exciting to watch. Both of these sides really feeling out each other in their tactics and how they're going to break things down. Seattle doesn't have a lot of depth. And without Jordan Heitema in the front line, she was out due to an injury for this match. You could see that there was a lack of offensive control for Seattle. And Bay, they're a side that's still growing and they look vulnerable in moments, but they also look really strong in what they want to do. And that means scoring goals and getting 3 points, ultimately getting wins. Bay FC head coach Alberto Montoya talked about how at the ends of games, he wants to push for wins and he wants to push for goals. It worked in this case against Seattle. They end up, that's the own goal by Alana Cook for us. You can see the regroup from the team about holding this game out and making sure they get all 3 points. It worked against Seattle, but that's a really dangerous game to play in the NWSL. I mean, you can look at Orlando last year. They had 10 wins, and they didn't make the postseason because there were so many matches that they ended up losing, and they didn't just draw. If they just drew, they would have had more points and made it into the postseason. So there's something to be said about holding on for a draw.
Yeah, I think the Seattle team needs a little bit of a resurgence. You can't rely on just Jordan Heitema. You can't just rely on Bethany Balser, Jess Fishlock. There needs to be more of a team win. They were really unfortunate with the own goals. I mean, that's tough. The one on Alana Cook is really, really tough, but it happens. It's part of the game. But they need to elevate. This is a team that has always made the postseason, has always been a contender for the championship. And we're not seeing that this year. I think they're having a little bit of an identity resurgence that maybe they'll bring in some other players, I hope, because it's not good enough, especially with what Bay was giving them. Lisa, you're completely right. Sending so many numbers forward and being really vulnerable in the back. Incredibly vulnerable. They should have capitalized on it more.
Well, Seattle only has until Friday to get new players. We'll see.
Who knows? Laura Harvey. She can get anyone.
Well, okay, so that's Seattle. But when we talk about Bay FC, they have Rachel Kujinanji and Asisat Ashawala up front. And you can see that they have the ability to combine, the ability to score goals. Weren't getting on the end of them in this game. But how much can that build up now that they've had this first home win? That combination, that chemistry build, and then they're going to be an attacking threat.
They will be. I mean, I think they already are because we're seeing glimpses of it and these moments where they can capitalize on moments. And I know you mentioned up top Oshwala, Kudananji, but Alex Luera had a screamer with her left. Ball bouncing outside of the box. She volleys it. There's smoke coming out of the backside of the ball when she hits
powerful,
this.
Yes.
It was so powerful. And if you can have depth, different players being able to score and get on the score sheet, it's really hard to defend against that because the threats up top, then in the midfield, it's just going to come in in waves, and Bay wants to attack and they want to score goals. It's tough to slow them down.
Okay, so we have other matches to get to, so we're going to switch gears now. Gotham had their home opener, right, because they're the last team to have the home opener considering the Challenge Cup that they had against Kansas City Current, who had been scoring so many goals, and all of the players that they have up top. For me, Chawinga and Bia Zanarata are the players that just catch my eye immediately. But as a Gotham girl,
how can you even see Chawinga? She's so fast so out there.
As a Gotham girlie, how did you think this game played out?
Oh, are you labeling me a Gotham girly? When did that happen? She's an Orlando girly. I'm just a girly.
I never know.
I've been retired
you're right,
for over a year
now.
I'm just a girly. But I thought that this was a really good game. It was a game of two halves. Kansas City came out really, really strong in the first half, and Gotham, their press was unorganized. I don't think they had personnel in their strongest positions either. They really weren't able to stop Chawinga, though, because that matchup, Tierna Davidson started at outside back, which is a little uncomfortable for her. Dealing with that speed that Chawinga has and her strength was so tough for Gotham's back line. And then the combination of Bia and Chawinga, I think, is so solid. Mm-hmm. They're two totally different players, but complement each other really, really well. And that's how they got that first goal. But in the second half, I love the changes that Coach Juan Carlos did. Moving Sonnet back to the six, brought in Nyswanger, Dunn. Yasmin Ryan went into the middle. And I think that that was what gave them the extra oomph. But Kansas City defensively on set pieces, what are you doing? They were totally zonal. You saw Esther in the first half. She had three attempts at the same corner. Yasmin Ryan going to take it.
And not
knocking
marked.
It back post. Yeah. She was free just hanging out till eventually she scored on it and almost had another in the second half. So a lot of questions still on Kansas City defensively. They lost a lot of steam. It's hard to defend that way. But it was a good comeback for Gotham.
The question marks have been there for Kansas City defensively because throughout this season, they've scored goals. They're at the top of the table, but they've also conceded a lot of goals. And set-piece defending has been a struggle for this Kansas City side right now. But there are really good moments. As you mentioned, Chawinga and Bia Zanarato, their relationship together is so impressive to watch them because Chawinga wants to get in behind, but she doesn't wait on the back line. She's fast enough. She can give herself a yard or two off the defense.
She started from the 18 to get that goal and just put her head down and went.
It's so impressive.
The defenders had like a 4-yard lead on her, too.
I was calling the game and I was like, there. Just watching her every time I saw the replay.
And the thing is, they have the same, they have very high soccer IQs, so there's, things that they're not talking about on field, but they
put
the ball somewhere, and it just looks beautiful, and they just make things happen. I do want to say, you mentioned the shout-out for Yasmin Ryan changing positions into the 10 and then back outside, how impressive she was, and how much she needs to step up after Midge Purse's injury.
Esther dropping, sorry, I said that incorrectly. Ryan was in the 8, and Esther dropped into the 10, and I think that was huge, because with the midfield Gotham started with, I don't think it was necessarily players that see the seams, play the balls forward, are recognizing the runs that the forwards are making. Esther and Yasmin have both played up top. So I think they understand that they have a little bit more of that connectivity and they just rotate a little bit more. Nyswanger coming and whipping in balls. It was the game of two halves completely.
Yeah. All right, we'll move over to the next game. North Carolina Courage against Portland Thorns. North Carolina Courage, something is clicking for them. What is it, Lisa? How is this all working out for Sean Nahas' side?
It's because Sean Nahas has one style that he wants to do and it's implemented across the board. Since he came into this role as the head coach of North Carolina, every single position on the field has a job to do and a role to play. So no matter which players are slotting into those positions and those different roles, they understand where their positioning is on the field. They like to keep the ball. They want to progress forward. Ashley Sanchez has been tremendous this year. She's part of three goal creations for North Carolina. That is already half of what she created in four games for the entirety of the year last year for Washington Spirit. It's Sanchez fitting in so well into this North Carolina team.
I know that she was a huge piece or a massive piece that needed to be added for his system. I know Sean Nahas was saying that we need Ashley Sanchez. We want Ashley Sanchez. This is going to be her team. And we have seen that come together very nicely. But on the other end of things, Darian, Portland Thorns, only 1 point thus far with four games in. I mean, do we need to be worried about this Portland Thorns side?
I think so. The players seem worried. We see them putting out statements. They seem concerned on the pitch. Their body language speaks volumes when they go down a goal or simple fundamental things aren't happening for them. If you go back and look at the goals, even Tyler Lucy's, no one's stepping. Mm-hmm. You look at the second goal, again, nobody's stepping at the top of the 18. There's a free opportunity to shoot or cross the ball. It's not helping their goalkeeper out at all. So I think that they need to regroup. They need to play more as a team. I think it's very individualistic right now. They rely a lot on Sophia Smith. The girl can only do so much. And when you're not able to link and connect with your midfield or your back line and nobody's reading your runs, same with Weaver for that fact, it's frustrating. You start to, you know what, well, I'm just not going to make the run. Okay, I'm going to wait for the ball here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just is a trickle-down effect of the team not playing well together. And it just looks like they kind of have not a lot of chemistry for a team that didn't lose so many players. They should be really, really good with who they picked up.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing it come together.
So when you say that, the players that they've lost are leaders, though. And then we have the insertion of Jessie Fleming. That's someone that we expected to kind of take off running. Her entrance into the league, how was she going to kind of get used to this league? Was she going to be a leader on this team? And maybe that's not something that we've seen so far from a player of her caliber, Lisa.
Yeah, I think it's tough for her to fit into a team that's not playing together.
Yeah.
They're not passing or looking to find their teammates or playing off of each other at all, right? With the runs that the forwards are making and the passes that don't follow after those runs are initiated, it's definitely deflating. Portland has yet to score a goal first in each of their matches this year. Do you know how hard that is? To go down constantly, to not be controlling games, to not be on the front foot attacking-wise. You're always defending. And the puzzle pieces just keep falling apart for Portland left, right, and center. Becky Sauerbrunn, captain and defender leader on this team, spoke post-match saying that it's really hard to find positives right now. Mm-hmm. The biggest positive is that everyone is frustrated. But at what point is that not enough for this team?
I was especially hoping after this international break that they would have had a little bit more energy coming into this match, but I don't know, other teams. I mean, North Carolina is not an easy team to judge yourself against because they do play such a solid style.
No, they haven't won a game, Darian.
Yeah, but I'm trying to give them a little bit of leeway here, but they just don't look like a team that is sure what their game plan is.
I will say, you know, I don't know how much this has to do with it, but I used to work for the Portland Timbers and Thorns when they were together. And I know that when they made the Bethal family came in and took over for Portland Thorns, that they had to choose, right? Like, so front office staff, training staff, whatever it may be, had to choose between going with the Timbers or going with the Thorns, because now they are separate when they used to share these two responsibilities. And I wonder whether that is also an added layer of discomfort and, like, getting used to things that was not necessarily the case before. You know, you have a certain athletic trainer for the last 3 years, and all of a sudden you no longer have these people to your access or your equipment manager, whatever it is that makes you comfortable in your area. That's just an added thing that I just thought of out of nowhere. Let's go ahead and move over to Orlando Pride. They got their first win of the season, and then they will have added in Barbara Banda after this first win of the season. How much of a potential resurrection is this, Lisa?
Oh, this is so needed. I mean, Barbara Banda is going to change any team that she comes to. This is the video of Banda arriving at the Orlando Airport. Look at all the supporters,
wow.
Orlando supporters, Zambian supporters. It looks like she's coming home.
Yeah, this is incredible scenes. I mean, what a way to make somebody that's coming into Orlando from a different country, way to make them feel at home and like they are meant to be here, and how welcoming. I absolutely love this, and how encouraging for the rest of the league to watch, or rest of the world to watch this and think, this is the reception I'm getting if I come to the NWSL. This is going to feel like home. Mm-hmm. This is the support I'm going to receive. I love this. I hope this helps her fit really nicely into this Orlando side and just feel confident and at home.
So deserved for her as well, because of the impact that she's made in international football, and of course being the trade coming to Orlando, and they need her at this point, right? The first win of the season, it's a lone goal win from Marta, their first clean sheet. So the steps have been taken, but they need more attack, and that's exactly what Banda's going to bring.
It's interesting, though, because this Orlando Pride fan base is amazing. To receive her at the airport is so beautiful, and they deserve to get some wins. They deserve to have good play. One thing that is having those plays come together is Marta, and no one is marking her in the box. She just continues to be successful on free kicks and corner kicks and all of those. How do you not mark one of the most goal-scoring players that has ever existed within our sport, Lisa? I just don't get it.
I mean, it's baffling, frankly. Like, why are you leaving her wide open? This goal from Marta, though, it comes from her right foot, Jenny. That is the first goal for Marta since October 2017 that she scored with her right foot. Impressive to see. And she's taking advantage of the open space that she has around her and the fact that there aren't defenders on her so that she can get these goals.
Well, I will say I do think Orlando's becoming a bit more of a handful up top. And I think it's difficult for teams, you know what, okay, Allie Watt, boom, ball gets cut across, Marta comes in, but see how spread Utah is, which they're also not the most organized team defensively at the moment. Getting on the end, pushing it past the keeper, great finish. But adding Barbara Banda to this team and all of the threats that they have, it's who do you pick and choose to mark to leave space for? Obviously, you never want to do that with Marta, but I think it's going to be difficult for teams to defend against because they have so many weapons going forward.
And
but
Utah already ball watching throughout this match, and Orlando took advantage of
that. It was a bad game for Utah.
Realizing that your opponent's ball watching, so we're just going to keep switching it because we're going to get open.
Well, you're just going to pull yourselves out of position, and we'll just find the space. And Marta's such an intelligent player. Mm-hmm. She's already probably there without even thinking about it. It's just second nature. But teams, why are you not marking Marta or Esther?
Yep.
I don't know how. Yeah.
These are our notes from today, everyone, if you're watching. Mark Marta and Mark Esther. That's all you got to do.
But Marta combined with Barbara Banda on this Orlando Pride team, that's something crazy to look forward to and very excited to see. We're going to have Sandra join us again for the NWSL rankings that she does every week when we return. So stay with us.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
It is time to welcome back in Sandra Herrera, our CBS Sports reporter, insider, all things NWSL women's soccer. For this segment, we're going to read through her power rankings. Let me go ahead and go through them. North Carolina Courage, San Diego Wave, Gotham, Kansas City, Orlando, Chicago, Spirit, Seattle, Portland, and many more. So let's go ahead and get into this, Sandra, because I want to know why Spirit is so low after they toyed with Houston Dash this past week.
They absolutely made an example, right, of the Dash. Poor Dash, unable to build off of any of their momentum that they had ahead of the break. But look, don't act like they're like at the bottom of this power rankings. They're sitting comfortably in seventh, okay? And they jumped up two spots, and it's because two spots for each rookie, in my opinion. Croy Bethune, Hal Hirschfeld, they are absolutely bringing it for interim head coach Adrian Gonzalez to start off this season. I know we had a lot of conversations around Spirit about how they were going to look. Were maybe they going to be a little bit of a second half team with the arrival of Giraldez, but they're hanging on and they're making a name for themselves so far. So I would imagine if they continue to keep putting up results, they're going to keep climbing the rankings, but I want to see some of these results against not expansion sides and teams that are clearly going through it at the moment.
Sandra, let's go over to Laura Harvey's Seattle team. They have three losses. They haven't shown up really well. They've kind of lost that playmaking ability we're so used to them having. How come they're not lower in your rankings?
Oh, they're dropping. They're dropping. Okay, so I had this team higher in the rankings to start off ahead of the season. And now as we're 4 weeks into the schedule, they're now in eighth. So this is a team that I was high on. I thought getting a player in Jisoo Yuno was going to help kind of solidify things. And you know what? I'm going to stick with this. This is a player that has been kind of the lone bright spot right now, in my opinion, for Seattle Reign. They have these moments during games where they have stretches where we could see them either lull a team to sleep or even kind of attack in waves. They could turn it on win and pick and win. They want to choose to do that, which is, I think, part of the disconnect and part of some of the disappointing play that we've seen so far from them to start off this regular season. So I think getting a player like G has kind of helped kind of ease some things, but at the same time, they're just not really showing us the type of team that we're used to seeing. Perhaps Alana Cook in her return to the back line can help solidify things, and maybe they're going to finally get things going. We saw them kind of build off and take it to bay kind of late in the stretch of that game, but it's not clicking right now, and that's why they keep dropping in the rankings.
Well, maybe a player that can help them that we're maybe manifesting for, Maria Sanchez going over to Seattle. Putting it out there.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, I want to talk about Racing Louisville, Sandra, because you have them 11th in your rankings, four straight draws. However, they've grown in some areas week to week and game to game. What do you need to see from Louisville for them to climb higher in these power rankings?
Lisa, I need a win. I need a win from Racing Louisville. That's what I need. Look, you do not want to be the team that is in a constant stalemate. I think this league has shown us that you can't truly draw your way into a postseason. But I say that with a little bit of questionable tone in my voice because we've got expanded playoffs this year. So maybe Racing Louisville could be the first. But I think if you take a look at the players and you hear what's coming out of pre-games and post-games, they do not want to be the team that had not found a way to win. So while it's admirable that they've shown that they can hang tough in games and against opposition that are maybe on paper rated a bit higher than them, they still aren't pulling off the full 90-minute performances to go ahead and secure a win. So I need to see a full 90 minutes from this team and the fact that they can actually try to win in this league.
Yeah, it is not fun to tie over and over again. In fact, I often found it was a little bit more defeating because you had it in your grasp and then you kind of let the win go and you're just settling to split points. Hate that. But I want to talk about the Courage. Number one, finally, we wanted them at number one last week and here they are. What is it about them that's been so dominant to the start of this NWSL season?
Consistent. I mean, that's North Carolina Courage right now. I think coming off of this game against Portland Thorns, we wanted to see certain teams maybe take this international break and try to raise their level a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily count North Carolina Courage as one of those teams because they've pretty much been bringing it since week one. But when we saw them go up against Portland, we saw two teams look very, very different despite having talented rosters. North Carolina Courage, probably the better, most informed team coming out of this international break, in my opinion. So they pretty much wrapped up that game in that first half. And that was enough for me to see us at Stop the Count. I'm putting them at the top of the rankings this week.
Okay, fine, Sandra. Every week I have the same question for you. Why is Kansas City Current not higher on your list? I see why you are judging North Carolina Courage and their consistency, but Kansas City Current continues to score some good goals. They have the players for it. I want them higher. What do they have to do to get higher on your rankings?
So you want my power rankings to just mirror the table. That's what you want me to do. You just want me to come on here and talk about standings, Jenny. That's what you want me to do every week. Listen, they're number four. That's a top four team. Listen, I still think that there's a lot of pride to be had in being considered a top four team in this league. I don't care how many times NWSL wants to expand playoffs. If you're a top four team, you're doing something in NWSL. But no movement for them. I'll give you that, Jenny, this week. They were in fourth last week. They're still in fourth this week because I want to see the defensive efforts. And we saw a little bit of that against Gotham, but they still conceded. They had to settle for a 1-1 draw. Listen, but that's not to take away from what they are actually doing in the attack. Temwa Chawinga, Bias Anarata are absolutely clinical. They are looking like a duo that's almost inevitable for Kansas City right now. So I want to see more of that. Who doesn't love to see some brilliant goals? But I still want to see a full 90 minutes where they can get some of these beautiful goals and walk away with a clean sheet.
Ooh, that's the key right there. The fact that they are unable to defend, that's something that we've been talking about. They need to clean that up a bit. Sandra, thank you so much for joining us. As always, you're beautiful.
Take it easy, y'all.
All right, ladies. That leaves us just... Kansas City, for me, has to be higher on the rankings. I know you're giving credit to North Carolina Courage here because, yes, they've looked complete and consistent. But what am I missing about what works so well for North Carolina Courage that has me kind of arguing with Sandra here, Lisa?
Well, I mean, Sandra said it best. Kansas City has to keep clean sheets.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to do that. They win games, they get points, but they're also leaking goals. North Carolina, they're coming off a big shutout over Portland Thorns and two goals. I mean, it's black and white right there.
And I don't think we've seen enough of a shift from Kansas City. So week after week, it's the same thing over and over again. The vulnerability in the three back. The set pieces is a big one for me. The set pieces are a big one for me, but it's going to be interesting to see how they change that moving forward because every team is scouting that and preying on it.
What about Wave, though? Because they're so high. What is it about this Wave team that Sandra ranks so highly?
I mean, yeah, they're good.
They are good. San Diego's second in these standings right now for Sandra. They're consistent. They're good. They're getting pieces back together. But they have to be able to score goals.
All right, there's so much missing there. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today on Attacking Third, brought to you by CarMax, the way car buying should be. Tune in on Wednesday on YouTube and again on Thursday when we'll be back.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.